Höllenkatze ist aus dem Sack. Diablo 4 Lord of Hatred heißt die neue Erweiterung, kommt am 28. April und bringt den Paladin als neue Klasse ins Spiel. Das hört sich alles ganz gut an. Das Cinematic haben wir auch schon gesehen. Und jetzt haben wir noch die Gelegenheit, mit Matt Burns zu reden. Der ist Lead Narrative Designer an Diablo 4 und kann uns einige Fragen zur Story und zum Paladin beantworten. Hi Matt, nice to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you. How you doing?
Very good, thank you. And congrats on the great new cinematic. Again, a very impressive cinematic, as Blizzard is sort of known for. As a principal writer, what was your role in it? Did you work with the cinematics team on this one as well?
Well, first of all, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And to answer your question, yes, we work very closely with the cinematics team at Blizzard on all the cinematics. But for this one in particular, we would sit down every so often through the process and work with the cinematics team, give them feedback on, you know, how should Mephisto be acting? You know, what's the story behind the paladin? What kind of abilities should we be showing in the cinematic so that it, you know, matches with what the developers are working on for the class itself and the class mechanics and stuff like that. And just the visuals and just the theming and the dialogue that's being spoken. So we kind of worked on all of that together. And of course the cinematics team is great, and just the fidelity of everything they can create to make it look so cool and interesting. They did their magic on it. So it was a fun, really fun process. I've worked with the cinematics team for a number of years on cinematics. And so it's always like, I don't know, I feel like they're so talented.
Yeah.
that I'm always amazed by what they can do. But for, you know, the Lord of Hatred expansion, there are a number of other cinematics as well in different kind of different mediums of cinematics, like we do in Diablo 4, that we worked with different cinematic directors and artists on as well. So a lot of very cool stuff coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's always sort of like been a trademark for Blizzard, these very high fidelity cinematics, starting with the earliest Diablo games, Warcraft games, and so on. What do you think is like the secret ingredient for Blizzard cinematic that makes it so special?
I think that one of the principles, again, just from my own experience working on cinematics before, there was always this drive to create something handcrafted, give it a handcrafted feel, right? Like go in and, you know, adjust and massage every detail, even things that when you're watching the cinematic, maybe are happening so fast, right? But I think subconsciously you're still picking up on just the level of detail and the quality of everything. And I think when it all comes together, that's what gives it this special extra, you know, oomph that just makes you go, wow, that was really cool. So
a lot more in store for the story of Lord of Hatred in terms of cinematics, since it's not just the announced cinematic, but also the cinematics in between, I think, that players always love with the game.
Exactly, yeah. We, you know, as you saw in Vessel of Hatred or in the Diablo 4 base game, we have a number of cinematics throughout the campaign and different kinds of cinematics too. You know, we have the ones that are more like the top down view, but there's very unique animations for the characters going on. And then we have the more like traditional cinematics that are going to happen. So like with the previous expansion, we're going to have a lot of those in Lord of Hatred.
Yeah, the Inarius Lilith cinematic at towards the end of the game, that was like one of the most epic things I've seen in a long time. That was really amazing.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the story of Lord of Hatred, which of course is your main expertise that you're working on. With the base game and with Vessel of Hatred, we've sort of seen like a more open-ended ending. Like, of course, you had the ending to the story, but there was always this, okay, and this is how it's going to continue. I already sort of know where it's going. What lessons did you take from that? And is it going to be similar with Lord of Hatred, or is Lord of Hatred sort of going to end this Mephisto arc? Of course, without spoiling too much.
Sure. No, that's a great question. So, yeah, for example, Vessel of Hatred was a very important chapter. And it was always intended that it's going to lead directly into Lord of Hatred, which, as you said, yes, it is this culmination of everything. It is this final chapter to the story of Mephisto and sort of this age of hatred that we call like the story so far of Diablo 4. So, you know, there was that cliffhanger ending in order to set up what's going to happen in Lord of Hatred. But really, for Lord of Hatred, our goal is to wrap up all these threads, bring this story to its final exciting ending, and have this epic showdown against Mephisto that I think, you know, throughout the course of Diablo 4, people were kind of waiting for and expecting, right? You know, Mephisto's been around kind of messing with us, doing certain things, and now we're going to face him for real.
And also, I think nobody really thought that Nerell's plan was going to completely work and she's just going to go away and never hear anything from him again.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's hard to deal with primevals.
You know? Sure.
Like it's, it's not easy.
Yeah, speaking on that, since it's all very focused on Lilith and Mephisto, of course, you're not going to like spoil anything, but can you give us a little hint at what the other prime evils might be doing at this point? Are we maybe going to see some of them at a later time? Can you tell us anything?
So, sure, I can tell you that, you know, Diablo and Bale are still around. You know, they're not like gone or anything like that, but. Yeah. We've really just been focusing on Mephisto as part of this Age of Hatred overarching story. So for Lord of Hatred, it really is about Mephisto and bringing that story to a close. Diablo and Bale are not a part of it, but like I said, they're still, you know, out there. They're not gone or anything like that. It's just, we really wanted to focus in on Mephisto and all the other characters revolving around him, right? Like Lilith, his daughter, you know, and Arius and all those characters, and really just kind of home in on them.
Yeah. So I was one of those players, and I think there were many that at the end of Diablo 3 were sort of like, oh, where's this going? Like, will we maybe even be able to join Lilith and fight against Mephisto with her? I would have gone for that 100%, by the way. So what role will she play now in Lord of Hatred? Will she sort of help us against Mephisto? Is she one of the good guys now? Like,
so, you know, we were fed her blood petals, right?
Yeah.
In base game. And she's a part of us. And even though we defeated her in hell, there's something of her that lives on inside of us. And so, you know, as she said, there would be no victory, you know, without her. She's right. Like when we're going to go and face Mephisto in Lord of Hatred, Lilith and our blood bond with her will be a very important and key part to dealing with Mephisto or trying to deal with him. Right. Mm-hmm. So, we are going to have this relationship with her. It is, as you might expect, a tense relationship because she's a powerful demon and, you know, demons aren't ones to just be nice or to forgive.
That's
because
true.
We did defeat her in hell and we ruined her plans. Right. So it'll be really interesting. I think it's a very fun part of the game, a very interesting part of the game, the story where we try to use this bond with Lilith to help the world and to stop Mephisto. But she has, like always, she has her own motivations. You know, it's not like we always see eye to eye on everything. Mm-hmm. So this sort of tension is always present. And also this question of, like, you know, we as the children of Lilith, like, what is our destiny in this world? How much influence does she have over us, really, versus, you know,
yeah,
how much of that of our agency is our own, right?
Yeah. But to all those Lilith fans out there, there will be more of her to see in Lord of Hatred.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. cool. That's
definitely cool. There'll be a lot to see of her, and also you're going to learn things about her that you didn't learn about in Diablo 4 or Vessel of Hatred. I mean, mostly Diablo 4, oh, cool. The base game. You're going to learn new things about her. And the same goes for Mephisto too, because he's such a big part of it as well. We're going to be learning things about him that until now we kind of only scratched the surface. Right. But in Lord of Hatred, there are so many more details and elements of their past that are going to come out.
Yeah, that's cool. Also because these characters are sort of like multi-layered. They're not just like, okay, he is just completely a bad guy, or maybe he is a bad guy, but it always seems like there's more to it. And so it's interesting to learn more about him, I think. What I also find very interesting is I'm a big fan of Greek mythology, and the new area, Skovos, seems very, very much inspired by Greek mythology. So what can you tell us about Skovos? How is life there? How will we go there, and what will we experience?
Yes, Skovos is a very cool place. This is where, when Lilith and Anarius and the other rebel angels and demons created Sanctuary, they kind of hung out in Skovos at first. Mm-hmm. And this is where they created humanity, where they created the firstborn. And so Skovos is cool because there are all these very ancient firstborn ruins everywhere, but combined with sort of more modern, you know, dwellings and cities that are made by the Askari, who are that's the culture that currently lives there, right? And so we're coming to this place where humanity all began in order to decide what humanity's fate will be going forward, right? Because Mephisto in the body of Akarot is also coming here to do something in this ancient place that he thinks is gonna, you know, change the fate of humanity as he wants it changed, right? Not something that we'll want. So Skovos has all these different islands. They each have their own unique and exciting flavor. When we go there, we're going to learn a lot about the culture and how it functions. We're going to see the Amazons, kind of the dual castes the dual orders of the Skovos. They have the Amazons, who are kind of like the military of Skovos, and the Oracle Order, who are more like the spiritual leaders, and how they work together, but also how Mephisto is, when he comes here, how he's like messing with the system, right? And kind of trying to break it so it doesn't get in his way.
Yeah. So there are some interesting new characters, for example, Queen Adriana, who is the Amazon Queen. But we also have the old characters coming back, like Nerel and Lorath, right?
Yes. So we have a great combination of new and old characters. So like you just said, Queen Adriana, she's an Amazon who's Queen of Skovos. And then Oracle Sira is kind of like the other leader of Skovos. You know, like I said, she's the spiritual leader. And they're very interesting, and they play a big part in the story. And yes, as you said, Lorath, Nerel, and like we talked about earlier, Lilith. So we have
these
familiar faces coming back, new faces, and in a lot of cases, like, there's a connection between them. So for instance, something I can mention is Lorath has been here before, like decades ago. He came here with some other Haradrim. You know, he had an adventure here, and he met Queen Adriona when she was younger too, and he formed a bond with her at that point. So it's not a completely new place for some of the characters. There's different layers going on between their relationships and what this place means to them.
So is Nyrell, is it still an ongoing theme that she's sort of fighting against that Mephisto corruption, or is that something that's been cleansed completely off her? Like, can you already tell us something about that, or is that too spoilery?
No, I can talk about that. I mean, Nyrell definitely has moved to a different state since Vessel of Hatred. You know, she overcame this sort of psychological attack that Mephisto was doing to her, right? And so really, like, she's stepping, it's more like she has stepped into this role of Haradrim even more so than before, and putting the needs of Sanctuary before her own. And, you know, I think that rather than kind of cower from Mephisto after everything he did to her in Vessel of Hatred, she's eager to find a way to strike back.
Yeah.
And it's more like she's on the offensive rather than, you know, scared or concerned about what's going to happen. But the one thing I would say though, is that even though she's not like corrupted or, you know, infested by Mephisto or anything like that, as we saw in Vessel of Hatred, where he's sort of getting into her head, you know, Mephisto is always going to be messing with the people that he has encountered, including, you know, not just Nyrell, but everybody.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can just cut the bond that easily between, you know, a mortal and a primeval.
Okay. So it'll be interesting to see how that will develop. Let's talk about the Paladin, which is, of course, like this huge iconic character in many, many fantasies, and also has been in Diablo, whether it was the Crusader or the Paladin. How did you guys envision this character now in this new game? How does he fit into this world of Diablo 4?
Yeah, sure. So I can talk a little bit about the Paladin. It's a very cool class, as you saw in the cinematic, just with some of the abilities that the Paladin has and familiar abilities too, right? So what I can say about the Paladin is, as you just said, there have been Paladins throughout the different Diablo games and throughout the lore of Diablo, right? And so this Paladin is a little bit different, because rather than being a part of the Zakharum Church or some other big institution like that, these Paladins are more like an independent order of warriors of light who are going out to do good in the world, because they've seen like what has happened in the past to the Zakharum and these other, like I said, like big institutions, and how inevitably there's like a hierarchy gets formed and it leads to corruption and things like that. And so they've decided, hey, we're not going to do any of that kind of stuff. We're going to stick to, you know, these truths of what the light means and how a person can find it and use it. And we're going to go and make right what is wrong in the world. So they're, you know, they're like these wandering warriors of light who stick to these strict oaths in order to prevent themselves from being, you know, corrupted or led astray by any dark forces. And they also have, compared, I think, to other Paladins that we've seen or the Crusaders, they also have this unique kind of belief in what the light is. They know what the light is. They know that angels exist. And so they don't worship angels, but they see them as these like aspirational figures that are like, oh, these are creatures of pure light. Like, maybe they don't always have our best intentions at heart, but there's something, you know, to aspire to. And so it's almost like they have an even closer connection with the light than Paladins of the past, because they can sometimes even like hear the song of the light that exists out there in their heads. And so yeah, they're pretty interesting. And I think like really fun to play and kind of like a cool slight evolution of what we've seen from paladins in the past.
Yeah, that's cool. Also because like the paladin with being this figure of light, he is sort of like the natural opponent, the natural opposite of Mephisto, which is like this lord of deceit and hate. How will that play out in the story? Like, will the paladin have sort of a unique outlook on what is happening in the game? And also, of course, you can start the base game with the paladin now if you wanted. Will he have something to say about the story of the base game that maybe gives another perspective on things?
Yeah, we do have these moments throughout base game, Vessel of Hatred, and in Lord of Hatred, where the different classes maybe have their own opinions about certain things. Like there are certain spots right throughout where that comes up. So the paladin will definitely have those kind of moments as well, where they can express maybe what they think about something going on or how they feel about something going on.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any like maybe a fun fact about the paladin, something you can share with us on top of that?
So something to share about that is so I'll share like a backstory,
yeah,
you know, narrative fun fact.
Okay.
One, and you know, it's like what I'm about to say is true of some paladins. It isn't true of all of them necessarily, okay, but we kind of imagine that the paladins go through this training process where, you know, established paladins might be wandering through a town one day and they meet someone and they see some potential in them. Right.
Yeah.
And they take them under their wing and they train and, how to become fighters. But then there's sort of this rite of passage at the end of it all where they're asked to basically climb up this mountain, go through this arduous task. And once they reach the top of it, you know, sort of exhausted and maybe, you know, starving and sort of in this push to the edge, right? Some of them can sometimes hear the what we call the light song, which is something from Diablo lore, which is basically like the sound of the light in the universe. You know, it's like this music, and in hearing it, it sort of changes them, right? And gives them this insight into the light itself. But I mentioned that because, you know, it's like a background lore thing that, you know, maybe isn't necessarily obvious, like if you're playing the paladin in the game itself. But yeah
I'm very excited. And also please, if you talk to them, congratulate the art and character design team, because I'm a paladin player. I play paladin on almost every game I play, and I've seen the artwork, and this looks like the coolest paladin I've ever seen, like with the hood and the big plate armor. He just looks so cool. And I really want to play that class. So please.
No, I think you're going to love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Please give my regards to the team who made this. It looks just awesome.
I will. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you very much, Matt, for talking to us about Diablo 4 Lord of Hatred. We're excited to see more of it and to play it next year when it launches April 28th.
Cool. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on and chatting with me about it.
Yeah, anytime, anytime. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Und euch da draußen auch vielen Dank fürs Zuschauen und oder Zuhören. Wir sehen uns im nächsten Video wieder. Bis dann.